From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, November 18th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Monday, let's do the Monday march back to work. Let's get it over with. Stiffen your backbone, shoulders back, smile on your face, and a prayer on your lips, and everything will be okay. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This is a classic. Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will. And then there's Cole's Law. Thinly sliced cabbage. Did you ever heard the first addendum to Murphy's Law? Anything done to try to correct it just makes it worse.
Would you please not do anything awful for 5 seconds?
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, boy.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Same.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Is that so?
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. If that ever is going to happen. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1883, American and Canadian railroads instituted 5 standard continental time zones, ending the confusion of thousands of local times.
Excuse me, what time does the train arrive in St. Louis? What time would you like it to arrive?
It was that bizarre. And it was on this day in 1963, the first push-button telephone went into service. Man, that was so cool. Oh, you could call your girlfriend and then play little tunes to her over the phone.
Hello.
This probably won't surprise you at all. In fact, you may already know about this. I just wanted to sound off on it. And that is Representative Wiley Nickel casually suggested forming a shadow government to counter President Trump's incoming administration. Of course, they do this all in the name of democracy because, as you understand, as they made it perfectly clear, that if Donald Trump wins the presidency, that would be an end to democracy and that he would be a dictator. He would be Adolf Hitler. So, it's interesting that they don't seem to understand the irony here. An end to democracy if Donald Trump is elected. So what are we going to do? We're going to counteract the Trump administration. And we're going to appoint a person from our side to counteract each cabinet member in Donald Trump's administration for the purpose of opposing them. Now, in some circles, something like this would be referred to as, what's the word I'm looking for? Treason. That's it. Treason. Yes. Now, in more serious times, particularly in the days when we were still forming this republic of ours, treason was met with a death sentence. That was it. You were arrested. You were usually put before a firing squad. And that was it. That was the end of you. Well, it turns out that not only do they, on the Democrat side, not look at this as treason, to them, they look at this as preservation of democracy, which, of course, is totally absurd. And not only that, but now the establishment is broadcasting their plans live from the House floor. All right, here's how Gateway Pundit reported it. Democrats and Trump haters in the D.C. swamp went to great lengths to hide their efforts to destroy President Trump, his family, individuals associated with his campaign, his top administration officials, and eventually his supporters from 2016 to October of 2024. This time around, Democrats apparently aren't going to hide their plans to thwart the president and his administration. A disturbing video posted by independent journalist Kyle Becker reveals U.S. Representative Wiley Nickel, Democrat out of North Carolina, who appears to be speaking on the House floor as he shares the names of potential shadow government replacements. Here are only a few of the Democrat congressman's suggestions for a shadow government that would be created to undermine President Trump and his agenda. So, they ran a list of people. I'm not going to go down that list. But if Trump attempts to weaponize, this is the Gateway Pundit site. If Trump attempts to weaponize the Department of Justice against his political opponents with Matt Gaetz at the helm, we could see incoming Senator Adam Schiff as our Attorney General. If Trump seeks to eliminate the Department of Education, Congresswoman Johanna Hayes, a former Teacher of the Year, could step up as Shadow Education Secretary to loudly defend public education in the United States. If Trump orders Marco Rubio to hand Ukraine and much of Eastern Europe to Russian President Vladimir Putin, Congressman Greg Meeks, as Shadow Secretary of State, could be a strong voice in support of maintaining international relationships and protecting democracy at home and abroad. So what you're seeing here is insurrection. Wait a minute, isn't that what they called what went on at the nation's capital on January 6th of 2021? Wasn't that an insurrection? And they wanted to put everybody who was there, just even showed up to be there to watch, wanted to put them in jail. Or worse. I mean, this is just absolutely absurd. So Democrats now, I don't know how widespread this is yet within the Democrat Party, but it usually doesn't take much to get them fired up. You know, a slogan. That's all it takes. A quick chant. Ho, ho, Trump must go. You know, that kind of crap. So how far this is going to go, it's anybody's guess. But the very fact that they are doing this in such a public platform just shows you the chutzpah of these jerks. This is just absolutely insane. And again, I have to repeat the same line that I've uttered I don't know how many times in the last 12, 15 years. I don't see how civil war can be avoided. Because if this insurrection is met with an iron fist, which it must be, obviously, the media is going to be on their side, as always, and the media is going to twist this into making it look like Donald Trump is a dictator. Frankly, I think the best thing we could do, really, if we're going to take a mature approach to something like this, absurd as it is ignore them. Just ignore them. Treat it like an irritation. Treat it like a child having a temper tantrum. I remember my oldest child, when she was just a little toddler, we were in the grocery store one day and she wanted something and Mama said no. So she threw herself on the floor and started banging on the floor with her fists and her feet. And we laughed. We just laughed. And she turned her head around and looked at us and realized the wind had just been taken out of her sails. Well, this is what we need to do with the Democrats. Because if we let it get us angry, or if we start making counter threats about what we'll do to them if they try to do this, they're going to ramp it up and ramp it up with every statement we make from our side. Ignore them. Laugh at them. I'm going to indulge for a moment in some ancient history. We're going to go all the way back to last Wednesday when President Trump met with President Biden. Met there in the Oval Office. And, I tell you what, that visit understandably raised a lot of questions, because after Trump was labeled a fascist and a threat to democracy, how in the world could Biden receive the president-elect so cordially? Did you see the smile on Joe Biden's face? He looked like the happiest man in the world, sitting there visiting with Donald Trump. So what changed for Biden after so many remarks he made himself about Trump's character? Well, I guess we shouldn't be too surprised, because never once during his entire administration did Joe Biden tell the truth about anything. He told no truths whatsoever. So, okay, let's just dismiss that. But after Biden was ousted by the Democrats as the nominee in favor of Kamala Harris, despite winning the party's primary. Is it safe to say that Biden wanted Trump to win to maybe get revenge? Well, Joe Rogan thinks so. On an episode of the Joe Rogan Experience from Thursday, Rogan told Black Rifle Coffee Company CEO Evan Hafer that he thinks Biden didn't just want Trump to win, but that he actually voted for him.
Favorite things of this whole election cycle has been yesterday. Well, when Biden and Trump sat down in the White House, Biden voted for Trump. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I never saw that dude so happy in his life.
Now, I don't know if you've seen any of the photos or any of the video taken in that Wednesday meeting at the Oval Office, but the footage of Trump and Biden together paints a picture that makes it hard to disagree with Mr. Rogan. President was grinning ear to ear as he sat next to a man he tried for many years to vilify. And, well, you heard Rogan. Never saw that dude so happy in his effing life. He lost his party. He was happy. So, 2024, seemingly Biden's last as a president seeking re-election, is going to be one for the history books for sure. After a terrible debate performance against Trump in late June, it was that long ago already, Democrats panicked. And I think primarily among the Democrats who panicked, at least people with the most power, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, it all signs are pointing to the fact that Nancy Pelosi was the one who orchestrated this ouster of Joe Biden. And rightfully so. But now they're blaming her for the loss of the election. And then again, maybe rightfully so. But a letter from the president in July announcing his intention to drop out of the race caused a lot of people to believe that it had not been his choice, but one made by the party. And you can bet that was the case. You know. And why did they do this? Because they thought they could beat Donald Trump. So Trump's victory is a loss for Harris and Democrats, but it also looks like Biden's revenge. It would be interesting to find out if Joe Biden contributed any money to the Trump campaign. Or maybe did it through a third party. So, as they said in the Western Journal about this, to fuel the narrative that the president is now with MAGA, First Lady Jill Biden wore red, the color of the Republican Party, as she went to cast her vote on Election Day. The now famous photo shows her sporting a grin to rival her husband's. So Rogan is probably right. After a Democrat coup to push Biden out of the way, why would he vote for that party? Well, with how unprecedented this election cycle has been, you know, I mean, there were a lot of firsts in this election, to be sure. Man, anything is possible. So for the last few days, President-elect Trump, I just like the sound of President Trump, okay, is putting together his cabinet. Putting a pretty impressive list together, too. Now, the president's cabinet usually includes the vice president and the heads of 15 executive departments, including the president's chief of staff, the secretary of state, a very important position, and the administrator of the EPA. Now, here's who Trump has selected for his cabinet so far, with most pending Senate confirmation right after the first of the year. Okay, here we go. We're going to start at the bottom with Chris Wright, Department of Energy. He's an energy industry executive. Now, you can expect a lot of flack right there from the Democrats. But see, not only did we win the election, we won the House and the Senate. So, there's going to be a lot of noise from the Democrats, but I don't think it's going to mean much. Anyhow, Trump described Wright as a technologist and entrepreneur with experience in fossil fuel extraction, including hydraulic fracturing. Wright also has experience with solar and nuclear energy, so that might help in silencing the critics. Then there's Doug Burgum, Secretary of the Department of the Interior. Leaders of both Dakotas could be moving to Washington pending Senate approval, because you've got, North Dakota's Burgum to lead the Department of the Interior. And Trump said to Burgum on November 14th, he says, we're going to do things with energy and with land, interior, that is going to be incredible. So from the moment he suspended his own candidacy for president, we're talking about Burgum. Speculation's been focused on Burgum becoming a part of either the Department of Interior or Department of Energy. He's a North Dakota native, attended North Dakota State University before earning an MBA from Stanford. So, there you go. His appointment comes after South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, remember? She was picked to become Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. We'll talk more about her in a minute. Then there's Doug Collins, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and he's Trump's pick to lead the department. Collins has also served as one of his attorneys in the past, okay? And Collins is also a longtime loyalist who stood with the president-elect through his ups and downs, a consistent characteristic of many of the men and women being chosen for top positions in this wonderful new administration. Then, of course, you know about RFK Jr., Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. I think that's pretty much locked up, although the Democrats are going to complain about that as well. But Trump officially picked RFK Jr. to lead the Department of Health and Human Services pending Senate approval. So Trump wrote on X, says, for too long, Americans have been crushed by the industrial food complex and drug companies who've engaged in deception, misinformation, and disinformation when it comes to public health. Well, you need no greater example of that than recent history called the COVID-19 pandemic or plandemic. How about U.S. Attorney General Matt Gaetz? There's some resistance there. Allegations against Matt Gaetz that are going to come out in the wash, I'm sure. But Trump picked him as his nominee for U.S. Attorney General. Again, pending Senate confirmation. Gaetz is from Florida. Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence. Well, I'll tell you what. That was one hell of an acquisition, not just by Donald Trump, but by the Republican Party. She is just a dyed-in-the-wool Republican now. And she came by that status, quite honestly, the classic case of the Democrat Party leaving her. So she's going to serve as Director of National Intelligence pending Senate confirmation. And of that, Trump said in a statement shared by his campaign team back on the 13th, he says, I'm pleased to announce it was the 13th. That was Wednesday. He says, I'm pleased to announce that former Congresswoman Lieutenant Colonel Tulsi Gabbard will serve as Director of National Intelligence. For over two decades, Tulsi has fought for our country and the freedoms of all Americans. A couple of Democrats, former Democrats. I want to emphasize, well, in Tulsi's case, former Democrat. And I think, officially speaking, now RFK Jr. is an independent. But a couple of former Democrats in the Trump administration. Marco Rubio, Secretary of State. And of course, again, that's pending Senate confirmation, which would make him the first Latino to serve as the country's top diplomat. You know, okay, big deal. I guess to some people that is a big deal. But his status as a Latino has absolutely nothing to do with his skills. Okay, he's good. How about Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem of South Dakota? And of course, she's governor of South Dakota. Been a good one. And of that, Trump said, Christie's been very strong on border security. She was the first governor to send National Guard soldiers to help Texas fight the Biden border crisis. And they were sent a total of 8 times. We know where her head is, right? And then, of course, I loved this appointment. Pete Hegseth, Secretary of the Department of Defense. Because right away, Pocahontas opened her fat yap and started crying about how he's not qualified. He's a TV news anchor. without realizing his military background of 20 years, all the combat deployments. He's like a male Tulsi Gabbard, really. And his education, which, let's see, he went to Yale and Harvard, was it? Yale and Harvard. Anyhow, Hegseth's the latest veteran to be named to the president's elect cabinet. He served in Iraq and Afghanistan as a captain in the Army National Guard. He's been awarded two Bronze Stars and a Combat Infantryman's Badge. You know, right there, that's enough to qualify him for Secretary of the Department of Defense. Good choice. John Ratcliffe, CIA director. Trump announced Ratcliffe as his pick to be the director of the CIA. And Ratcliffe served as the director of national intelligence during Trump's first term. I don't know if you recall that, as well as Trump's primary intelligence advisor. And Trump awarded him the National Security Medal back in 2020. Mike Waltz, not to be confused with Walz, you know, governor of Minnesota, which he's back to doing again, thank God. But Representative Mike Waltz from Florida, he's a retired colonel in the National Guard and combat decorated Green Beret. And he's going to be Trump's national security advisor. The first Green Beret elected to Congress and the third veteran to join Trump's cabinet. I mean, this cabinet's looking really good. You got Lee Zeldin, administrator of the EPA, former New York congressman, and former candidate for governor in New York. He didn't win that one, but he's going to take on the role of EPA administrator, and it's expected that he's going to quickly focus on deregulation. Oh, here's another good one. Elise Stefanik. Oh, here's another good one. Elise Stefanik, U.S. ambassador to the UN. And she's been described by Trump as an incredibly strong, tough, and smart America First fighter. That's all I need to know about her. I've seen her on video. I've seen her in congressional hearings. The lady is awesome. Susie Wiles, chief of staff. Now, she's 67 years old. She's the first woman to serve as White House chief of staff. Co-chair of Trump's incredibly successful campaign, and she's being credited with several key campaign victories in her home state of Florida. And then, of course, there's Vice President J.D. Vance. Excellent choice. My gosh, doesn't get any better than that. Have you heard this man speak? Have you seen this man dealing with the mainstream media? Wow. Just awesome. So, by the way, this is important, I guess. Just to kind of show the youth that comes with this administration. He's the first millennial vice president. He's only 40, and he's the youngest vice president in the nation's history. That's pretty darn cool. And before joining the Senate in 2023, Vance served in the Marine Corps as a combat correspondent in the Iraq War. He's a graduate of Ohio State University and Yale Law School. He's worked in venture capital with Peter Thiel. That's pretty darn good. He was a CNN commentator. His 2016 best-selling memoir, Hillbilly Elegy, details his life growing up in poverty in a Rust Belt town in Ohio, where he was raised by his grandmother while his mother struggled with substance abuse. The movie Hillbilly Elegy was on Netflix for quite some time. I don't know if it still is. I'm no longer a subscriber of Netflix. I've just got too many things to do to be able to sit down and watch movies and what have you. I wish I had time, but I don't. And in the Senate, Vance served on the Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committees, the Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committees, and the Special Committee on Aging. And he has, just for the record, he has a conservative voting record. And he's expressed support for Israel and criticism of the war in Ukraine and sees focus on China as a priority. So there are a lot of things there that I don't know if this means anything to you, but for some reason it does to me. He seems to be really perfectly in sync with Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Hegseth. Good things will come of that. I've only got about a 2-minute window here to talk about Trump's non-cabinet high-level appointments. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cherry pick some of these names. Because some are not quite as important to the public as others are, okay? But I think the window to the administration, of course, any administration, is the White House press secretary. Joe Biden wasn't exactly gifted with good ones. Raggedy Ann was bad, but the lady who succeeded her, Karine Jean-Pierre, was way worse. Well, we have a good one this time around with Donald Trump, Caroline Leavitt. And first of all, the role entails acting as a spokesperson for the executive branch, the president in particular, and involves routine White House press briefings, as you already know. And Ms. Leavitt served as the assistant White House press secretary in Trump's first term and as the 2024 Trump campaign national press secretary and is currently serving as a spokeswoman for the transition team. And let's see who else we got here that I wanted to cherry pick. Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy, Stephen Miller. He's good. He is good. Rubs some people the wrong way, but he's very firm. He's very direct. And he's picked as his deputy, as Trump's Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy. And Miller will also be Trump's Homeland Security Advisor. And he's known for his hawkish stance on immigration. And then, of course, speaking of immigration, border czar Tom Homan. And he served in Trump's administration as the director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, in other words, ICE, when the Department of Justice implemented a zero tolerance policy over illegal entrance into our country. In an interview on CBS 60 Minutes in October, Homan laid out what a mass deportation program under Trump would look like. And he said that families can stick together as they are deported. So it's going to be a welcome change over the current border czar, who, of course, has been Kamala Harris. To the Comedy Corner now with Joey Callahan.
My name is Joey Callahan. I'm coming from Philadelphia. If you're from Philly, I may need a ride home. Good. Thank you. Listen, this was my first time here. Do you guys realize how beautiful it is here? If I want to see a mountain, I would have to drive 3 hours to see a hill. You guys literally have mountains down the street. They're fantastic. You give them for directions, like, go down Center Street, make a left at the mountain. Don't make a right, because there's another mountain. It's like the Olympics literally could happen around the corner. It's fantastic. You guys probably don't even notice it. I love the Olympics. I love the Winter Olympics for one sport and one sport only, the ski jump. That to me, you know where they go off the ramp? I think that is an Olympic practical joke. They get one dumb guy from every country and they go, hey, Gregor, come here. Go up those big flights of steps, go through the door, party for you. Okay. Oh! My name is Joey Callahan, and you may have heard that, but I got here and I was introduced to someone, and they go, Callahan? That's really Irish. I go, yeah. And then I was thinking about it. My mother's maiden name was O'Connor, and my grandmother's name was Gallagher. I'm literally related to the cast of Riverdance. Callahan, O'Connor, and Gallagher sounds like a law firm you don't want to hire. People calling up, Callahan, O'Connor, Gallagher, and Goldberg. Yeah, can we talk to that fourth guy, please? We want to talk to the fourth. I'd like to hire the fourth guy, please. That'd be great. Love doing comedy here. You guys are so nice. I always say this is an easy job. I think, personally, the toughest job in the world is being a waitress or a waiter. Yeah, because it's the only job where you literally have to stop doing your job to go sing happy to birthday to someone you don't care about. No other job do you have to stop doing your job to sing happy birthday to a stranger. You never see a police officer pull somebody over.
and go, license and registration, please. Oh, it's your birthday? I'll be right back. I need backup. It's his birthday. Hold on, sir. This will just take a second. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Get out there and just make it a great day. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.